The Old Testament reading for Good Friday is from the 6th chapter of Hosea. Come and let us return to the Lord, for He has torn, but He will heal us. He has stricken, but He will bind us up. After 2 days He will revive us. On the third day He will raise us up, that we may live in His sight. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew it goes away. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and your judgments are like light that goes forth, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. This is the word of the Lord. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Merciful God, Heavenly Father, who has removed from us the grievous burden of our sins and placed it on your dear Son, our Savior, we humbly implore you to govern us by your Holy Spirit, that we may comfort ourselves with His suffering and death in the face of all temptation. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The epistle is from the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. This is the word of the Lord. Deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men, who plan evil things in their hearts, They continually gather together for war. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asps is under their lips. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purpose to make my steps stumble. The proud have hidden a snare for me. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me. I said to the Lord, "You are my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation. You have covered my head in the day of battle. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence." The Holy Gospel according to the Passion of St. John, the 18th and 19th chapters. Praise to you, O Christ. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way," that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" Then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest, and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door, and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said. And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Peter then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death," that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all, but you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" Then they all cried again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold, the man!" Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out again, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above." Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, Behold your king! But they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate said, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the Place of a Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. It was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, Do not write the King of the Jews, but He said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was the preparation day that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. And again another scripture says, They shall look on him whom they pierced. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Thank you. Our sermon text is from Isaiah 53, verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Setting aside a bit of time on Fridays during Lent can allow us to meditate on the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about some kind of superstitious practice, but simply thinking about the facts and their meaning. Now, there are some who fast or abstain from red meat on Fridays during Lent. Whether you did or didn't, the question becomes, did you stop and say, this is Friday, the day that Jesus Christ was crucified to take away my sins? At any time during the last 7 weeks, did you ever give some thought to your Savior's suffering and death? There is a reason that the church sets aside times and dates for services of various themes. And with today's service, we meditate upon and consider our Lord's crucifixion. Saint Bernard once said, I quote, "I thought I was safe and knew nothing about the eternal judgment that had come upon me in heaven until I saw the only Son of God have mercy on me, step forward and submit himself to the same judgment for me. Alas, I can no longer play and be secure when there is such severity behind his sufferings." End quote. The first thing which we must consider is that our Lord's suffering and death was not an easy, quick, or effortless process. Now, of course, there was the physical pain and suffering. During the trials, there were the lashes upon the back, the blows to the head and face, as well as the imprint of the crown of thorns. Upon the verdict, he was carrying his own cross to Golgotha, a task that the Son of Man was unable to complete due to his weakened condition. He was nailed to a cross, endured the most brutal means of execution, and endured 6 hours of pain before he gave up his spirit. That Jesus experienced physical punishment was necessary, as our well-deserved punishment also includes a physical aspect. The second thing which we notice is Jesus' approach and reaction to the punishment we deserved. If you are uncomfortable with my restrained description of Jesus' physical suffering, you will understand that Jesus is repulsed by the thought of undergoing this whole harrowing idea. In the Garden of Gethsemane, as he prayed for help to accomplish this saving task, he told the disciples, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." But they didn't. St. Luke records that Jesus requests another way of securing our salvation, if that is possible. He says, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thine be done." Despite an angel strengthening him from heaven, the text says, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling upon the ground." Despite the human reaction of exceeding sorrow and agony over the upcoming payment, Jesus meets the hour and pays our price. The final blow does not come from the soldiers. It is not delivered by the insult of his disciples, who are first sleeping and then fleeing for their lives as they deny their Lord. we do not get to watch the final blow being delivered while Jesus hangs on the cross. However, the darkness which begins at the sixth hour or noon lasts until the ninth hour. It lets us know that it has happened. After enduring this punishment for 3 long hours, Jesus overcomes his anguish to cry out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" On that cross, Jesus suffered the pain of our eternal damnation, separation, and rejection of the Heavenly Father. On the cross, Jesus suffered the agonies of hell which we deserved. Saint Bernard said, "I thought I was safe, and I knew nothing about the eternal judgment that had come upon me in heaven, until I saw the only Son of God have mercy on me, step forward, and submit himself to the same judgment for me. Alas, I can no longer play and be secure when there is such severity behind his sufferings." A little meditation upon the acts and the meaning of Christ's suffering and death can lead us to realize that it was our sins that led Jesus to suffer and die. St. Peter told the Jews on Pentecost, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Similarly, you are to know for certain that it was your sins that caused Jesus' suffering, crucifixion, and death. His agonies were not endured to invoke our pity on him, but to induce our sorrow and repentance for our sins. Jesus said to the women, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." Our sorrow is to be directed toward our sins. We should fear God's wrath. If this meditation upon Christ's suffering were to stop here, we would be left in despair. As Saint Bernard said, there is a seriousness which arises when we see the judgment that he endured. However, there is more. More to learn from our Good Friday meditation. We begin to learn that our Jesus desired to have mercy upon us. Our Lord did not reluctantly go to the cross. He went willingly. Everything that Jesus endured was out of love for his Father and for us. The Son of God was in complete obedience to his Heavenly Father in all things. And our loving Savior was in complete agreement with the Father that he should suffer that suffering and death which we deserved. A meditation upon Christ's suffering and death will reveal his great love for us. When the soldiers came to arrest him in the garden, Jesus made sure that the disciples would not be arrested or punished along with himself. Jesus said, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way." Later, the text makes sure that we know that Jesus accomplished his purpose, saying, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none." When Simon Peter drew the sword and cut off Malchus's ear, Jesus would not allow that situation to keep him from accomplishing our redemption. Jesus said, "Put your sword into your sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" And furthermore, Jesus lets us know that his love for us, it was his love for us that led him to the cross. It was not his inability to stop it. For you see, he says to Peter, "Do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?" At the snap of his fingers, Jesus could have immediately stopped it all. He could have aborted his sacrifice for us. But he didn't. Despite his agony, he said, "Your will be done." Our Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus told Pilate, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Here is the truth, which we learn from the meditation upon the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. Jesus fervently desired that we may be with him and behold his glory. This Jesus suffered and died to take away our sins, and he did it out of great love for us. When our Savior cried out, "It is finished," he was speaking of the atonement which he had secured for us. He was proclaiming the truth which sets men free. Our sins have been atoned. Everyone who is of the truth hears Jesus' words and believes it. The meditation upon the holy suffering of Christ leads us to see our sin being punished in our Savior, and then that same meditation leads us to see the removal of our sin by our gracious Savior. All of the Scriptures bears witness, and it points to this truth. Isaiah says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressor." St. Paul repeats this truth. "For God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. The bidding prayer is on page 276. We stand. Almighty and everlasting God, since you have revealed your glory to all nations in Jesus Christ and in the word of his truth, keep, we ask you, in safety the works of your mercy, so that your church, spread throughout all nations, may be defended against the adversary and may serve you in true faith and persevere in the confession of your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, receive the supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all your servants in your holy Church, that every member of the same may truly serve you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God and Father, because you always grant growth to your church, increase the faith and understanding of our catechumens, that recalling the new birth by the water of holy baptism, they may forever continue in the family of those whom you adopt as your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord. O merciful Father in heaven, because you hold in your hand all the might of man, and because you have ordained for the punishment of the evildoers and for the praise of those who do well, all the powers that exist in all the nations of the world, we humbly pray you graciously to regard your servants, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the governor of this state, and all those who make, administer, and judge our laws, that all who receive the sword as your ministers may bear it according to your word, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty and everlasting God, the consolation of the sorrowful and the strength of those who labor, may the prayers of those who in any tribulation or distress cry to you graciously come before you, so that in all their necessities they may rejoice in your manifold help and comfort, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty and everlasting God, because you seek not the death but the life of all, hear our prayers for all who have no right knowledge of you. Free them from their error, and for the glory of your name, bring them into the fellowship of your holy church, through Jesus Christ our Lord. O Almighty and everlasting God, through your only Son, our blessed Lord, you have commanded us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, and to pray for those who persecute us. We therefore earnestly implore you that by your gracious visitation, all our enemies may be led to true repentance, and may have the same love and be of one accord and of one mind and heart with us and with your whole church. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Let us pray for the fruits of the earth, that God would send down his blessing upon them and graciously dispose our hearts to enjoy them according to his own good will.
O Lord, Father Almighty, by your word you created, and you still continue to bless and uphold all things. We pray you so to reveal to us your word, our Lord Jesus Christ, that he may dwell in our hearts, and we may, by your grace, be made ready to receive your blessing on all the fruits of the earth, and those things that pertain to our bodily needs. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the whole world. Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the whole world. Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the whole world.
Oh, come, let us worship him.
You You may be seated. Hymn 111.
Thank you.
My tongue, the glorious battle, sing the ending of the fray. Now above the cross, the trophy, sound the loud triumphant lay. Tell the world's Redeemer as the victim won the day. Tell how when at length the fullness of the appointed time was come, He, the Word, was born of woman, left for us His Father's home. Blaze the path of true obedience, shone as light amidst the gloom. Thus with 30 years accomplished, He went forth from Nazareth, destined, dedicated, willing, did His work and met His death. Like a lamb He humbly yielded on the cross His dying breath. Faithful cross, true sign of triumph, before all the noblest tree. None in foliage, none in blossom, none in fruit your equal be. Symbol of the world's Redeemer, your burden makes us free. Unto God be praise and glory, to the Father and the Son, to the Eternal Spirit honor, now and evermore be done. Praise and glory in the highest, while the timeless ages run.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood as He bids us do in His own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and His kingdom which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship through the Son, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Our Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in the eating of your body and the drinking of your blood, we remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come and receive the body and blood of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for me, preserve my body and soul unto everlasting life. Amen. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given and shed for me, preserve my body and soul unto life everlasting. Amen. I will depart in peace. Amen. The body of Christ for you. The blood of Christ for you. Depart in peace.
Amen. He trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delighted in him. Lay beside my garments among them, and for my clothing take out
the body. The body of Christ for you. The body of Christ for you.
O my
blood of Christ for you.
I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you.
Depart in peace.
My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. My God, look upon me. Why hast thou forsaken me? And art so far from my power,
Christ,
and from the words of my
complaint. Body of Christ for you. Body of Christ for you. Body of Christ for you. Body of Christ for you.
Thank you. given us in time, be our healing for eternity.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.